Karl Marx, in his sixth thesis on Feuerbach, wrote, "The real nature of man is the totality of social relations." Karl Marx: "It is not individualism that fulfills the individual. On the contrary, it destroys him. Society is the necessary framework through which freedom and individuality are made realities." Karl Marx in John Lewis, The Life and Teachings of Karl Marx. In other words, according to Karl Marx, rejecting the father's authority and the living soul, the child having to humble, deny, die to, control, discipline, capitulate his self, in order to do the father's will is not what fulfills the child. On the contrary, it is the father's authority, that is the child having to do right and not wrong according to the father's established commands, rules, facts, and truth that destroys him. That is, that prevents him from becoming his self, thinking and acting according to his carnal nature, that is according to what he has in common with all the children of the world. The child's desire for approval from others, requiring him to compromise in order to get along, that is, in order to build relationship, is the necessary framework through which freedom from the father's authority and freedom to lust after pleasure, that is, to do what he wants without having a guilty conscience, which the father's authority engenders, are made reality. Norman O. Brown, in his book Life Against Death, The Psychoanalytical Meaning of History, wrote, "The individual is emancipated in the social group." Freud commented that only through the solidarity of all the participants could the sense of guilt be assuaged. Self-perfection of the human individual is fulfilled in union with the world in pleasure. According to Freud, the ultimate essence of our being is erotic. Eros is fundamentally a desire for union with objects in the world. Eros is the foundation of morality. The guilty conscience for doing wrong, disobeying, sinning, for lusting after pleasure instead of doing what a person is told, which is engendered by the father's authority and the use of the group, society, the necessity to compromise, to set aside established commands, rules, facts, and truth in order to build relationship with others based upon common self-interest, lust negating the guilty conscience and its effect upon the individual and therefore its effect upon society. Where relationship with others based upon common self-interest, lust supersedes obedience to the one whose established commands, rules, facts, and truth get in the way of relationship with others, based upon common self-interest, lust. According to Sigmund Freud, the guilty conscience is a product of the father's authority, which sustains the father's authority in society. It is only in the social group, where relationship is based upon compromise, that the guilty conscience for doing wrong, for disobeying the father, can be negated. According to the Marxist Norman O. Brown, without the social group, the child and society remain subject to the father's authority. Therefore, the child and society can only be liberated from the father's authority and the guilty conscience which the father's authority engenders in the social group, which justifies the child's carnal nature, that is eros, that is lust. Kurt Lewin, in his article Resolving Social Conflicts, Selected Papers on Group Dynamics, wrote, "The group to which an individual belongs is the ground for his perceptions, his feelings, and his actions." Kurt Lewin, in Kenneth Benny's book, Human Relations in Curriculum Change, wrote, "It is usually easier to change individuals formed into a group than to change any one of them separately. The individual accepts the new system of values and beliefs by accepting belongingness to the group." Kurt Lewin, in Wilbur Brookhover's book, A Sociology of Education, explained the effect leadership style has upon the group and the child. The child takes on the characteristic behavior of the group in which he is placed. He reflects the behavior patterns which are set by the adult leader of the group. Kurt Lewin, regarding the effect different types of leadership have upon people, wrote, "Change in methods of leadership is probably the quickest way to bring about a change in the cultural atmosphere of a group. Any real change of the culture of a group is, therefore, interwoven with the changes of the power constellation within the group." Barker, Dembo, and Lewin, Frustration and Regression, An Experiment with Young Children in Child Behavior and Development. It is the guilty conscience, which is engendered by the father's authority, that sustains the father's authority in the child and in society. The Marxist Norman Brown gives us a definition of the guilty conscience from a Marxist perspective: contempt for the father's authority. He wrote, "The guilty conscience is formed in childhood by the incorporation of the parents and the wish to be father of oneself. What we call conscience perpetuates inside of us our bondage to past objects now part of ourselves. Norman O. Brown, Life Against Death, The Psychoanalytical Meaning of History. Dr. Robert Trojanowicz, in his book The Meaning of Community, in Community Policing Defining the Development, the Guilty Conscience and Its Effect Upon Society, wrote, "The personal conscience is the key element in ensuring self-control, refraining from deviant behavior even when it can be easily perpetrated. The family, the next most important unit affecting social control, is obviously instrumental in the initial formation of the conscience and in the continued reinforcement of the values that encourage law-abiding behavior." Trojanowicz then promotes bringing the police and the community together with the dialoguing of opinions to a consensus process, negating local control, that is the father's authority system, and the guilty conscience replacing it with the police state. Done with the use of crime to bring the people together. There is no father's authority, that is judgment, condemnation, fear of being cast out in dialogue. Therefore, using dialogue to establish right and wrong behavior negates not only the father's authority, it negates the guilty conscience as well. Kurt Lewin, in his book A Dynamic Theory of Personality, explaining in two sentences how the guilty conscience is created and how to destroy it, wrote, "The negative valence of a forbidden object which in itself attracts the child, the guilty conscience, thus usually derives from an induced field of force of an adult. If this field of force loses its psychological existence for the child, that is, if the adult goes away or loses his authority, the negative valence also disappears. While the guilty conscience ties the child to the father, or rather the father to the child, the superego ties the child to society." In Book 2, Affective Domain, Benjamin Bloom, which and who will be covered below, wrote, "Superego development is conceived as the incorporation of the moral standards of society. Therefore, the levels of the taxonomy should describe successive levels of goal setting appropriate to superego development. It is the father's authority system itself that Karl Marx was out to negate. Having denied the heavenly father's authority, all he had to do is negate, remove, the earthly father's authority from society, which he believed engendered the heavenly father's authority, that is religion. In other words, by the child submitting to the earthly father's authority, he created the heavenly father's authority system. Without help, that is the removal of the father's authority from society, from the environment. The father's authority for Karl Marx would continue to control the child's thoughts, directly affecting his actions. This was expressed by Lenin during the Russian Revolution, communist takeover of the Russian people. The peasantry, the traditional middle-class family, constantly regenerates the bourgeoisie, the father's authority system, insisting their children do right and not wrong according to what they have been told in order to get ahead. In positively every sphere of activity and life, we must learn how to eradicate all bourgeois habits, customs, and traditions everywhere." Vladimir Lenin, Left-Wing Communism, An Infantile Disorder, An Essential Condition of the Bolshevik Success, May 12, 1920. "For socialism to be successful, the middle-class parents who insist children do right and not wrong according to established commands, rules, facts, and truth must be negated. This includes teachers, businessmen, legislators, leaders, etc., including ministers. The use of dialogue when it comes to behavior accomplishes the deed." Thus, the agenda was to replace the traditional educator who preaches commands and rules to be obeyed, teaches facts and truth to be accepted as given, by faith, and refuses to dialogue but insisted upon discussion, where they have the final say, with facilitators of change who, utilizing the dialoguing of opinions to a consensus process, excluded the father's authority system in establishing behavior, effectively removing the father's authority system from the student's thoughts, directly affecting their behavior, affecting society. In other words, society needs man's natural inclination to lust after pleasure in order to become one, and man's natural inclination to lust after pleasure needs society's justification. The liberation of self, that is of lust out from under the father's authority, is necessary for personal growth, while submission of self to the father's authority stunts human nature. Marxism is philosophy and psychology becoming at one with one another. It is in dialogue, which does not recognize the father's authority, that all can become one, bypassing, disregarding, and rejecting the father's authority in making rules, policies, and law, that is in establishing right and wrong behavior, resulting in lust being right and the father's authority being wrong. In his book Maslow on Management, Abraham Maslow wrote, "I have found whenever I ran across authoritarian students, those who adhere to the father's authority, that the best thing for me to do was to break their backs immediately. The correct thing to do with authoritarians is to take them realistically for the bastards they are, and then behave toward them as if they were bastards. If I have 20 students from different homes, whose fathers differ from one another on established commands, rules, facts, and truth, I have 20 students divided from one another if they are loyal to their father's authority. The only way I can make them one is to focus upon what they have in common, their lust for pleasure and resentment toward restraint." In other words, it is the father's authority system, that is the father's established commands, rules, facts, and truth, which differ from father to father, that divides the people. It is in the child's propensity to respond, change in accordance to the situation and our object, people, or person in the moment that is the objective of life. Without the help of the facilitator of change, the children remain subject to the father's authority system. This is the true meaning of site-based management. All the facilitator of change has to do in a positive environment, that is in an environment which will not judge, condemn, or cast you out for lusting after pleasure or for being wrong, is ask you how you feel and what you think regarding the commands, rules, facts, and truth you have been taught that get in the way of your carnal desires, especially when it comes to behavior and the facilitator of change owns you. This applies to all who participate in the facilitated dialoguing of opinions to a consensus process, establishing lust over and therefore against the father's authority. Psalms 36 verses 1 to 4, "The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart, that there is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes, until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise, and to do good. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil." Psalms 10 verses 3 and 4, "For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts." 2 Timothy 3 verses 2 to 5, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, trucebreakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." 2 Corinthians 6 verses 15 to 18, "And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." When it comes to behavior, God speaks through preaching, teaching, and discussing from his established commands, rules, facts, and truth, rewarding those who do right and obey, chastening those who do wrong and disobey, that they might repent and turn from their wicked ways and do right and obey, casting out those who refuse to listen and thus refuse to repent and turn from their wicked ways, while the serpent, when it comes to behavior, speaks through dialogue, justifying man's carnal nature, thus justifying man's rejection of and rebellion toward the Father's authority. Rule of law resides in discussion, the tyranny of the masses in dialogue. Culture, the standards of the past reside in discussion, while the destruction of culture, culture war, resides in dialogue. The regenerate heart resides in discussion, the unregenerate, natural or carnal, heart with its lust for pleasure and hatred toward restraint in dialogue. Purpose in discussion is to do right and not wrong according to what he has been told, while in dialogue it is to get what you want. You are driven and manipulated with feelings. In dialogue, led and persuaded with facts and truth. In discussion, peace is having done right and not wrong, or being right and not wrong according to what he has been told, righteousness being imputed by God, by his grace through our faith. In discussion, while peace is not being held accountable for one's carnal thoughts and carnal actions in dialogue, since everyone is entitled to their opinion in dialogue, thus there is no wrong. The only wrong being those who insist upon discussion, that is doing right and not wrong according to what they have been told, that is doing the Father's will that gets in the way of their feelings, their sense experience, the affective domain, dopamine emancipation, their lusts of the moment that the world is stimulating. What is missing, you lose in dialogue. In dialogue, there is no Father's authority, therefore no inheritance, posterity, history, tradition, unalienable rights, sovereignty, representation, representative government, limited government, local control, culture, heritage, absolutes, established commands, rules, facts and truth, private convictions, private property and private business, limits and measures, being wrong, humbling, denying, dying to, disciplining, controlling, capitulating of self, contrition, repentance, forgiveness, salvation, conversion, redemption and reconciliation, for doing wrong, disobeying, sinning, fellowship, etc. They are all missing, negated, in and through dialogue. Generalization resides in dialogue. Only that which is relevant to the desires of the moment is presented in order to get one's way while in discussion. As the saying goes, the devil's in the details. The objective is to be or do right and not wrong according to established commands, rules, facts, and truth. In the use of generalization, those who insist upon discussion, that is accountability for doing or being wrong according to what the Father says, are silenced, censored, and removed, negated. If they persist, they are accused of being argumentative. Prejudice when it comes to discussion is based upon doing right and not wrong according to established commands, rules, facts, and truth, while prejudice in dialogue is based upon parents telling their children how to behave, holding them accountable when they do wrong or disobey. If the teacher insists 2 plus 2 is always 4 and cannot be any other number, holding his students accountable for being or doing wrong, or the boss expects his employees to do right and not wrong according to what they have been told, or the president, governors, mayors, legislators, senators, town councilmen, and judges insist upon rule of law, that is the Constitution, making decisions based upon it, they, according to the dialogue group, are considered prejudiced fascists. This includes God. Top-down resides in discussion, while equality resides in dialogue, which is based upon feelings, upon man's carnal nature, upon his lust for pleasure and resentment toward restraint. Robert's rule of law, or rule of law, resides in discussion, while consensus or worldly peace and socialist harmony resides in dialogue. While discussion can save no one, as with the law, it is the means by which we know right from wrong from being told, thus that we are wrong when we are wrong. Bloom's taxonomies. There are many stories of the conflict and tension that these new practices are producing between parents and children. David Krathwohl, Benjamin S. Bloom, Taxonomy of Educational Objectives, Book 2, Affective Domain. All educators are certified and schools accredited today based upon their use of what are known as Bloom's taxonomies in the classroom. In the first taxonomy, Taxonomy of Educational Objectives, Book 1, Cognitive Domain, Bloom wrote, "We recognize the point of view that truth and knowledge are only relative and that there are no hard and fast truths which exist for all time and places." Bloom simply paraphrased Marxist ideology, as explained by Friedrich Engels. In the eyes of the dialectic philosophy, nothing is established for all times. Nothing is absolute or sacred. 40 years after the publication of the first taxonomy, Bloom admitted, "Certainly the taxonomy was unproved at the time it was developed and may well be unprovable." Benjamin Bloom, 40-year evaluation. Bloom, in his second taxonomy, Taxonomy of Educational Objectives, Book 2, Affective Domain, acknowledged that he was warned of what he was doing. Whether or not the classification scheme presented in Handbook I, Cognitive Domain, is a true taxonomy, is still far from clear. It has been pointed out that we are attempting to classify phenomena which could not be observed or manipulated in the same concrete form as the phenomena of such fields as the physical and biological sciences. It was the view of the group that educational objectives stated in the behavior form have their counterparts in the behavior of individuals. Observable and describable, therefore classifiable. True science is observable and repeatable. Yet if any teacher does not accept Bloom's taxonomies as fact and apply them in the classroom, applying the father's authority system in the classroom instead. He or she will be punished. Ask any teacher. In the second taxonomy, Taxonomy of Educational Objectives, Book 2, Effective Domain, we read the following. The student must feel free to say he disliked having to do what he is told to do and not have to worry about being punished for his reaction. A large part of what we call good teaching is the teacher's ability to attain effective objectives through challenging the student's fixed beliefs. The effective domain is, in retrospect, a virtual Pandora's box. The effective domain contains the forces that determine the nature of an individual's life and ultimately the life of an entire people. David Krathwohl, Benjamin S. Bloom, Taxonomy of Educational Objectives, Book 2, Effective Domain. Pandora's box is a mythological story of a box, originally a bottle, full of evils, which once opened, cannot be closed. Once parental authority, the father's authority, fear of judgment, the lid is removed, it is difficult, if not impossible, to put it back on again. In the praxis of dialogue, when establishing right and wrong behavior, the father's authority is negated. That is, the lid is removed. That is, Pandora's box is opened. That is, wickedness and evil is loosed, liberated. The taxonomies are the tool by which Marxist facilitators of change are able to evaluate where the students are regarding their paradigm, whether they are loyal to the father's authority, thinking only of their self, or loyal to the group, socialist causes, and the facilitator of change, using that information in order to shape the classroom in order to change their paradigm, making sure they are Marxist, are becoming Marxists, or are silenced, censored, and removed, negated. Taxonomy of Educational Objectives, Book 2, Effective Domain. What we are classifying is the intended behavior of students, the ways in which individuals are to act, think, or feel as the result of participating in some unit of instruction. Ordering and relating the different kinds of affective behavior. We need to provide the range of emotion from neutrality through mild to strong emotion, probably of a positive, but possibly also of a negative kind. Organized into value systems and philosophies of life. Many of these changes are produced by association with peers who have less authoritarian points of view, as well as through the impact of a great many courses of study in which the authoritarian pattern is in some ways brought into question while more rational and non-authoritarian behaviors are emphasized. According to Bloom, as mentioned above, it is the role of the educator, as a facilitator of change, a group psychotherapist, to develop attitudes and values toward learning which are not shaped by the parents, when it comes to behavior replacing discussion, where the parent has the final say with dialogue, where the student has the final say, establishing the student's lust for pleasure, dopamine emancipation, over and therefore against parental authority, thus producing conflict and tension between parents and children. Book 2, Effective Domain, the educator, the facilitator of change, does not have to tell the students to question, challenge, defy, disregard, attack their parents' authority when they get home from school. If they were not doing that already, telling them would be old school, maintaining the old world order of being told. Even if it was done for the purpose of change, for the purpose of creating a new world order, all they have to do is use a curriculum in the classroom that encourages, that is, pressures the students to participate in the process of change, into dialoguing their opinions to a consensus, justifying their carnal nature, establishing their lust for dopamine emancipation over and therefore against their parents' authority. Being told to be positive, supportive of the other student's carnal nature, and not negative, judging them by their parents' or God's standards, pressure students to justify their and the other student's love of pleasure and hate of restraint, doing so in order to be approved, affirmed by them, resulting in the group labeling those students who, holding on to their parents' standards, refusing to participate in the process of change, or fighting against it as being negative, divisive, hateful, intolerant, maladjusted, unadaptable to change, resistors of change, not team players, lower order thinkers, in denial, phobic, prejudiced, judgmental, racist, fascist, dictators, antisocial, etc., hurting people's feelings, resulting in the group rejecting them. The student's natural desire for approval and fear of rejection forces him to participate. The same outcome applies to all adults, in any profession who participate in the process. Once you are labeled for life. In the Soviet Union, once you were labeled psychological. No matter how important you were in the past, your life was over, your career was done. Generalization has been used by men who lust after pleasure in order to destroy, silence those who stand in their way or who can get them cast out. Irvin D. Yalom, in his book The Theory and Practice of Group Psychotherapy, wrote, "Without exception, children enter group therapy, the group grade classroom, with a history of a highly unsatisfactory experience in their first and most important group, their primary family, the traditional home with parents telling them what they can and cannot do. What better way to help the child recapture the past than to allow him to re-experience and reenact ancient feelings, resentment, hostility toward parents in his current relationship to the therapist, the facilitator of change? The facilitator of change is the living personification of all parental images, takes the place of the parent. Group facilitators refuse to fill the traditional authority role. They do not lead in the ordinary manner. They do not provide answers and solutions, teach right from wrong from established commands, rules, facts, and truth. They urge the group, the children, to explore and to employ its own resources, to dialogue their feelings, that is their desires and dissatisfactions of the moment in the light of the current situation, that is their desire for the group approval affirmation. The group children must feel free to confront the facilitator of change, who must not only permit, but encourage such confrontation, rebellion, and anarchy. He, the child, reenacts early family scripts in the group, and if therapy brainwashing, washing respect for and fear of the father's authority from the child's brain thoughts, is successful, is able to experiment with new behavior to break free from the locked family role, submitting to the father's authority, that is doing the father's will he once occupied. The patient, the child, changes the past by reconstituting it, creating a new world order from his ought. That is a world which lusts. That is a world void of the father's authority and the guilty conscience, which the father's authority engenders for doing wrong, disobeying, sinning, that is for lusting. Kurt Lewin, the father of unfreezing, moving or changing, refreezing people, force field analysis, and group dynamics, wrote, "A successful change includes, therefore, three aspects: unfreezing the present level, moving to the new level, and freezing group life on the new level." Edgar Schein and Warren Bennis explained what unfreezing was all about in brief. Unfreezing is the breaking down of the morals, customs, and traditions of an individual, the old ways of doing things, so that he is ready to accept new alternatives. Edgar Schein and Warren Bennis, personal and organizational change through group methods, the laboratory approach. Warren Bennis, in his book Interpersonal Dynamics, Essays in Readings on Human Interaction, explaining how the communist brainwash ed, our soldiers, wrote, "The manner in which the prisoner came to be influenced to accept the communist's definition of his guilt can best be described by distinguishing two broad phases. One, a process of unfreezing, in which the prisoner's physical resistance, social and emotional supports, self-image and sense of integrity, and basic values and personality were undermined, thereby creating a state of readiness to be influenced. And two, a process of change, in which the prisoner discovered how the adoption of the people's standpoint and a reevaluation of himself from this perspective would provide him with a solution to the problems created by the prison pressure. Most were put into a cell containing several who were further along in reforming themselves and who saw it as their primary duty to help their most backward member to see the truth about himself in order that the whole cell might advance. Each such cell had a leader who was in close contact with the authorities for purposes of reporting on the cell's progress and getting advice on how to handle the Western member. The environment undermined the client's self-image. Once this process of self-reevaluation began, the client received all kinds of help and support from the cellmates and once again was able to enter into meaningful emotional relationships with others. Interpersonal Dynamics, Essays in Readings on Human Interaction, edition Warren G. Bennis, Edgar H. Schein, David E. Berlew, and Fred I. Steele. Benjamin Bloom, in his book Second Taxonomy, Book 2, Effective Domain, wrote, "To create effectively a new set of attitudes and values, the individual must undergo great reorganization of his personal beliefs and attitudes, and he must be involved in an environment which in many ways is separated from the previous environment in which he was developed. Many of these changes are produced by association with peers who have less authoritarian points of view, as well as through the impact of a great many courses of study in which the authoritarian pattern is in some ways brought into question while more rational and non-authoritarian behaviors are emphasized. The effectiveness of this new set of environmental conditions is probably related to the extent to which the students are isolated from the home during this period of time. Objectives can best be attained where the individual is separated from earlier environmental conditions, and when he is in association with a group of peers who are changing in much the same direction and who thus tend to reinforce each other. David Krathwohl, Benjamin S. Bloom, Taxonomy of Educational Objectives, Book 2, Affective Domain. The role of those using dialogue instead of discussion when it comes to behavior is to liberate the next generation, and therefore their self from the father's authority system in order for them to lust after pleasure without having a guilty conscience, with the people's affirmation, so they can lust without being judged, condemned, and cast out for their immoral behavior. When it comes to behavior, for traditional-minded people to tolerate the process of change, that is to participate in or be silent when dialogue is used, where those of and for the world, the facilitator of change, the group psychotherapist and all who follow him have the final say, it has become the law of the land. When you are silent in the midst of unrighteousness, unrighteousness becomes the norm, the law of the flesh. Sin, man's carnal nature, has become the law of the land. A Soviet, the consensus process. Has authority been banished in these later days? Has the world reached a point where it will condone the formation of pupil Soviets? We'll see. Woods, Superintendent of Public Instruction of the State of California, March 1921, the facilitated, be positive and not negative, open-ended non-directed, dialoguing of opinions to a consensus, group grade classroom your child is learning to think and behave in is a Soviet. A Soviet is a diverse group of people, which must including the deviant, the catalyst for change. Dialoguing their opinions to a consensus over social issues, where social worth becomes more important than the right of the individual under God. To a predetermined outcome, that no policy or law is to be made without the Soviet system, that is the dialoguing of opinions to a consensus process, which prevents the father's authority from establishing policy, rules, or making law. When policy and law are established according to self-interest, the victim, whose individual rights were violated by the criminal, becomes the criminal by forcing his laws upon the criminal, who was simply following human nature, who now becomes the victim, since he has to obey established laws preventing him from becoming his self, subject to his carnal nature, that is subject to what he has in common with all that is of the world. Anyone holding to established commands, rules, facts, and truth placed in a dialoguing of opinions to a consensus environment will always be perceived as being argumentative, experiencing terror as his individual rights, under God, are replaced, negated, with social cause, that is social worth. Your child does not have to be told to question, challenge, defy, disregard, attack your authority as a parent, if he or she was not doing it already. All he or she has to do is participate in a classroom using Bloom's taxonomies as its curriculum, that is learn right and wrong behavior in the group grade classroom, where he or she must go with the group, that has become a socialist, replacing individual rights under God with social worth, that is be affirmed by the group or be rejected, that is silenced, censored, and or cast out by it, going with or affirming the group, and he or she will do it automatically. R. W. Makepeace and Krumhelm, in their book Marxist Ideology and Soviet Criminal Law, explaining the effect dialogue has upon decisions made in the courtroom, wrote, "Jurisprudence of terror takes two forms, loosely defined rules which produces unpredictable law and spontaneous changes in rules to best suit the state. When dialogue replaces discussion, when it comes to behavior, those who base their lives upon discussion, that is the father's authority, are terrorized, that is martyred. A conservative judge, for example, will use discussion when making judgment, turning to the Constitution, established law, letting it have the final say, while the liberal judge will turn to dialogue, redefining the Constitution or ignoring it, making law subject to his and the people's lust for pleasure and hatred toward restraint, justifying the killing of the unborn, the elderly, the righteous, and the innocent, doing so without having a guilty conscience. Our highest court in Strauss versus Strauss, 3 so, second 727, 728, 1941, wrote, Every system of law known to civilized society generated from, or had as its component, one of two well-known systems of ethics, Stoic or Christian men's opinions or rule of law. The common law draws its subsistence from the latter. Its roots go deep into that system. The Christian concept of right and wrong or right and justice motivates every rule of equity. It is the guide by which we dissolve domestic frictions and the rule by which all legal controversies are settled. Karl Marx, rejecting the father's authority system, discussion, built his ideology off of Heraclitus, who wrote, "Every grown man of the Ephesians should hang himself and leave the city to the boys." Heraclitus's ideology, based upon dialogue, influenced the Stoics. Karl Marx, in Critique of Hegel's Philosophy of Right, wrote, "The justice of state constitutions is to be decided not on the basis of Christianity, not from the nature of Christian society, but from the nature of human society." In Roe v. Wade, 410 U.S. 113-15, 1973, our highest court, rejecting and therefore in defiance to the Christian faith, turned to Stoicism, men's feelings of the moment, influenced by the immediate situation, rejecting the restraints of the Constitution in making law. There has always been strong support for the view opinion that life does not begin until live birth. This was the belief of the Stoics. In Roe v. Wade, our highest court embraced the principle or ideology of Marxism, establishing it over and therefore against the word of God, that is godly restraint, that is individualism under God, that is rule of law, which protects the individual from governmental usurpation of his God-given rights. When a judge turns to discussion regarding an issue pertaining to the Constitution, he is bound to the limits and measures established by the Constitution, that is, he cannot make law. The judge can only interpret the case before him in whether it violated the Constitution or not. When a judge turns to dialogue, he is not bound by the limits and measures of the Constitution but free to make law. The Constitution was created to prevent dialogue ruling over the people. The replacing of discussion with dialogue when it comes to behavior is Jean-Jacques Rousseau world where, in defiance to the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, that is rejecting the Father's authority with the Father having the final say, the fruits of the earth belong to us all and the earth itself to nobody, except to the one making this statement who, in his thoughts and actions, owns whatever he sees, as did the woman in the garden in Eden, that is, as Karl Marx declared, the proletariat, Karl Marx and all who think like him, thus has the same right as has the German king, the father, when he calls the people his people and a horse his horse. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 26, Jean-Jacques Rousseau, Discourse on Inequality, Karl Marx, Critique of Hegel's Philosophy of Right, whoever defines terms for you controls your life, either man or God, who you turn to determines where you will spend eternity. 2 Thessalonians 2 verses 11 and 12, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. 2 Thessalonians 2 verses 11 and 12, because men, as children of disobedience, justify their self, that is, justify their love of self and the world, that is, their love of the carnal pleasures of the moment, dopamine emancipation, which the world stimulates, establishing lust over and therefore against the Father's authority, believed a lie that pleasure is the standard for good, instead of doing the Father's will, believed in their self and the pleasures of the moment, which the world stimulates instead of in the Father and in his Son, Jesus Christ, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned. When it comes to behavior, when you replace discussion, what the Father says, with the Father having the final say with dialogue, what you say, with you having the final say, you damn your soul. That is the curse of psychology that cursed a nation. And notes, facilitators of change, that is psychologists, that is behavioral scientists, that is group psychotherapists, that is Marxists, transformational Marxists, all being the same in method or formula, are using the dialoguing of opinion Stoic consensus, affirmation process, that is dialectic reasoning, reasoning from and through the student's feelings of the moment, that is from and through their lust for pleasure and their hate of restraint, in the light of their desire for group approval, that is affirmation and fear of group rejection, in the group grade, safe zone space place. Don't be negative, be positive. Open-ended, non-directed, Soviet style, brainwashing, washing the father's authority from the children's thoughts and actions, that is, theory and practice, negating their having a guilty conscience, which the father's authority engenders for doing wrong, disobeying, sinning in the process, called the negation of negation. Since the father's authority and the guilty conscience, being negative to the child's carnal nature, is negated in dialogue, opinion, and the consensus process, there is no father's authority, that is, no established aka absolute command, rule, facts, or truth to be accepted as is, by faith and obeyed. There is only the person's carnal desires, that is, lusts of the past and the present being verbally expressed and justified, inductive reasoning, reasoning from and through the student's feelings, that is their natural inclination to lust after the carnal pleasures of the moment, dopamine emancipation, which the world stimulates, that is their self-interest, that is their sense experience, selecting appropriate information, excluding, ignoring, or resisting, that is rejecting any inappropriate information, that is established command, rule, fact, or truth that gets in the way of their desired outcome, that is pleasure, in determining right from wrong behavior, Bloom's taxonomy. Affective domain. French Revolution, liberté, égalité, fraternité, classroom environment in order, as in New World Order, to liberate children from parental authority, that is from the father's authority system, the patriarchal paradigm, as predators, charlatans, pimps, pedophiles, seducing, deceiving, and manipulating them as chickens, rats, and dogs, that is treating them as natural resource, human resource, in order to convert them into liberals, socialists, globalists, so they, justifying their self before one another, can do wrong, disobey, sin, that is can lust after the carnal pleasures of the moment that the world stimulates with impunity. Homeschooling material, co-ops, conferences, etc., are joining in the same praxis, fulfilling Immanuel Kant's as well as George Hegel's, Karl Marx's, and Sigmund Freud's agenda of using the pattern or method of Genesis 3 verses 1 to 6, that is self-justification, that is dialectic dialogue reasoning, that is reasoning from and through your feelings, that is your carnal desires of the moment which are being stimulated by the world, including your desire for approval from others with them, affirming your carnal nature, in order to negate Hebrews 12 verses 5 to 11, that is the Father's authority, that is having to humble, deny, die to, control, discipline, capitulate yourself, your lusts, in order to do the Father's will, negating Romans 7 verses 14 to 25, that is your having a guilty conscience when you do wrong, disobey, sin, thereby negating your having to repent before the Father for your doing wrong, disobedience, sins, which is the real agenda. Copyright Institution for Authority Research, Dean Gotcher, 2024, July 20th, 2024.